Good morning, everyone. Now, this morning I'm going to be talking on the effect of integrated management system where you use nitrogen, REDS, as well as nitrification inhibitors, how they affect uptake, as well as N2O emissions. Now, in the last, I don't know how many years now, 10, 15 years, one way to assess the sustainability of the cropping system is really to see how much yield you have or how much N2O is impacted on the environment. Now, for sustainability, we require that we should determine both the natural use efficiency as well as how much it impact on the entire system. So, well, most often, both the N2O emission and nitrogen uptake or use efficiency are seldom determined simultaneously. Therefore, the relationship between nitrogen use efficiency and N2O are still largely unknown. It's kind of a recent phenomenon that we try to explore in the community. Now, if you do not know the relationship, then it's going to be hard to tell that all the breeding programs, all the management system programs that are directed to maximize uptake will lead to N2O emissions. So with that, we set out to work on the three objectives to see how NREDS will affect seasonal N2O emission and how it will affect the N uptake and use efficiency, and also to find the relationship between N2O emissions and N uptake and recovery and use efficiency with or without nitrification inhibitor. Now, this experiment was conducted in 2012 and 2013 at Purdue University Research Center, and our N source was UAN applied at 5 rates from 0 to 20 kilograms per hectare, as the farmer will usually apply, not zero now, maximum of about 220. And every treatment had with or without the nitropyrene as inhibitor. Here we chose the Instinct. Instinct is a relatively new nitropyrene that is water soluble and therefore could be used with liquid nitrogen sources like UAN and manure. It was applied at 70 grams per hectare. Now, we collected gas fluxes about 3 to 7 days after application. And our measurements were done using vented static chambers. We sampled once a week in 2012, but stepped sampling frequency to twice a week in 2013. Altogether, we sampled from anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks following application. Thereafter, we sampled probably biweekly until, say, harvest time. And of course, we calculated cumulative N2O emission by linear interpolation between sampling dates. So, at maturity, we harvested corn and that grain yield determined. Then we determined the grain and stover nitrogen percent. Concentration. From there, we calculated an uptake and recovery and use efficiency. Now, in 2012, if you remember very well, there was this huge drought that affected almost everything we did. So, 2012, there wasn't much emission. This is just about 16, maximum about 16. Grams per hectare per day. And we found that following about, say, a week or 2 weeks following application, we saw our first peak. Usually our peak, we have just one or two peaks in around Indiana, but this year we had multiple peaks because of the very strong variation in soil moisture. Then again, we had peaks again towards the end of the season, when rainfall returned. So, but in 2000 13, the F there means, you know, that the date fertilizer was applied. So you can see it is, you know, we say sampling, you know, less than a week after the application. This is very typical of, you know, of the emission pattern in Indiana, whereby, you know, we find emission peaks, say 3 weeks, 4 weeks maximum after application, and then it falls rapidly too for almost the rest of the season, of course, except if there is some unusual, you know, high rainfall event. So to put this in perspective for you, on the right is 2013, and I'm sorry, on the left is 2012. You know, you can see that 2012, you know, compared to 2013, there was almost nothing. It was all flat because of the drought. You know, but again, like I said, this is a typical of Indiana emission pattern. Right? And that was because precipitation in 2012 total was about, you know, 400 millimeters. You know, but a lot of the rainfall, you know, came in August, where we were well into the season, you know, compared to 2013. So, effect of N rate and nitroparin on grain yield and cumulative N2 emission. I chose to put this graph together, you know, to give you, you know, a sense of, you know, how the rates or how treatment affects both yield and N2 emission. Of course, 2012 was nothing to, there was nothing much happening because of the drought. So a lot of the treatment, there was no difference between the rates. Of course, only if you compare it to the zero rate. But then you're saying that N2O rose, you know, sharply. You know, as soon as you approach the recommended rate, say from 180 to 200, or if you exceed it, you know, it just rising. You know, like someone showed earlier on. In 2013, it was even more pronounced. You know, 2013, of course, there was you know, treatment effect, you know, whereby every rate was, you know, significantly different, you know, as you increase N rate. But look at N2O emission. You know, it's almost like increased linearly up to, say, 180. Then beyond that, you know, it just increased, you know, tremendously. So the reason I showed this slide is for you to understand that in Indiana, once you, you know, if you go towards the recommended rate, and if you try to exceed it, then you are increasing the chances of increasing N2O emission by almost 20%. You know, typically, you'll be around 25% in a good year with good rainfall. So altogether, this is what we get for the effect of the N rate and the inhibitor on cumulative N2O emission. Like we said earlier, in 2012, there wasn't, you know, much difference at the higher rate except at the lower rate of 90. So in 2013, there was a significant difference. You know, only actually, you know, there was separation between, say, 180 or 220 and at the lower rate of 90 and 140. But 180, there wasn't a difference between 180 and 220. So, if you average across, say, across the nitrification inhibitor, we find significant difference in 2012, about 26% lower for with the Eastin, and that was because we suspected that because of the drought, the Eastin kind of lingered on a lot longer, and therefore the microbial community couldn't recover, you know, on time or in time to effect nitrification. And altogether, we found that, you know, in terms of how much N2M was emitted per kilogram of nitrogen applied, which is the emission factor, we did find almost no difference at the higher rates in 2012. There was no difference in 2013. But overall, you know, if you average across N rates for the inhibitor, you know, we found that there was a significant difference without, you know, the inhibitor compared to with inhibitor application. So What we found in terms of end uptake, use, and efficiency was in 2012, again, because of the drought, there was no difference between uptake and for with recovery. For that year, we were finding a little bit of difference with nitrogen use efficiency. That's because as you increase rate, efficiency tends to decrease, you know, in the system. In 2013, we found significant difference nitrogen uptake. You know, in the first two lower rates were different from the last two higher rates. There was no difference of any year except again at 118 and 225. Of NRE, I mean, but for NUE, there was less separation, you know, among the rates. Overall, you know, with the instinct, we found uptake was significantly higher with the instinct compared to without, and NRE was, you know, the same. But for NUE, there was no significant difference. Now, this is the like I said, this is a relatively new concept of trying to relate uptake, recovery, and efficiency with N2O. Now, what we found was that in terms of relating N2O with uptake, the relationship was generally weak. You know, even though it was significant, you know, you'd be expecting common sense, in theory, you would expect that as N uptake increases, we should be expecting some decrease in N2O and a strong relationship or some kind of negative relationship. But, you know, our analysis so far shows a positive relationship, at least by regression models, between uptake and N2O, irrespective of the year. You know, and we suspect that it is because both variables responded to N rate, you know, at the same, in the same way. Then we also try to see the relationship between N2O emission and recovery. You know, it was they were both low, but it was negative linear relationship. So this tells us that, you know, with more research data, you know, we'll be able to probably tell, you know, how much recovery with, you know, the exact nature of the relationship between, you know, recovery and the N2O emission. Now, I can tell you, we think that the reason why our relationship was pretty low for this one, weak, was that, you know, one with, you know, sampling frequency for 2012 was a little bit, was once a week compared to 2013 that had, you know, a greater relationship. And that reason, again, we think that this relationship is a little bit weak, is that, you know, for the most part, I showed you that peak of emission, you know, of N2O in Indiana is probably 6 weeks after application. And we usually apply at six or eight, what do you call it, V6 or V8. From V4 to V6, that's when we apply our UAN, and emission will peak at the most 4 weeks after application, or 6 weeks, compared to NUE, uptake, that is almost, you know, peaks, you know, way later. So we're thinking that in the long run, if more studies would need to be done in terms of, say, timing of N, application, you know, if you split, what would be the relationship? If you delay your application deliberately, what would be the relationship? So these are things we need to explore further. So in conclusion, I say tentative conclusion, because a lot of studies will need to be done to establish in a good relationship between uptake at N2O. In conclusion, we said that cumulative N2O increases non-linearly with N-rates, but exceeding recommended rates dramatically increase N2O. Overall, the relationship between N2O, N-uptake, and NRE was weak. A small but negative linear relationship may exist. I use that word cautiously, you know, between N2O and NRE. And more studies will need to be done to better understand this relationship between N2O and uptake and or recovery efficiency. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge funding agencies. The Indiana Coal Marketing Council has provided with funds over the last 10 to 50 years for this research. The Five Power Project Cooperation also, you know, give us some funding for this. And finally, the USDA NIFA organization has provided much funding for this project. And also the staff and students of the Tony Bain Lab, Tony Bain is sitting over there, who have worked so hard to make this project a success. So thank you, and I welcome any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Brother Speaker. We have no time for the question.